The underlying principle, though, that Vice President Biden believes in is that we can't be training people for jobs that aren't there, which is why he thinks that partnering with small businesses and medium-sized businesses in communities in order to design training programs is essential.
Hi, I'm Jim Doyle, President of Business Forward, and you're listening to the Business Forward podcast. Business Forward helps local business leaders fix Washington by bringing Washington to them. Subscribe to our podcast to hear conversations with policy experts, elected officials, and business leaders about important issues like climate action and affordable health care. In this episode, we co-hosted a briefing with Small Business for America's Future between business leaders and Biden for President's policy director, Steph Feldman. Feldman discussed Vice President Biden's policy plan to build modern, sustainable infrastructure and an equitable clean energy future. She addressed business leaders' questions on topics ranging from clean energy transition to how our education system can prepare workers for a 21st century economy. We hope you enjoy the conversation.
Hello, everyone. My name is Rhett Buttle. I'm a senior advisor with Small Business for America's Future. Jim Doyle of Business Forward and I are pleased to host the Biden for President team members, Jason Rodriguez, who's the Deputy National Coalitions Director, and Steph Feldman, who's the Policy Director. We've asked Steph to discuss Vice President Biden's 2020 economic agenda, particularly his plan for modernizing our energy economy and building sustainable infrastructure. We've also asked the team at the Biden campaign to discuss the campaign's policy development process, including ways that local business owners and leaders such as yourselves can submit questions, recommendations, and even case studies over the next 120 days. With that, I want to give a huge thanks to both Jason and Steph for joining us today. And Jason, I'd like to turn the call over to you.
Thanks so much, Rhett, and really excited to be here with all of you again in this continued series where we just have discussions engaging the small business community about Joe Biden's plan. As I think I've mentioned in previous calls with all of you, we here in the coalitions department want to be very thoughtful and mindful in how we are working together with the small business community and relaying the vice president's vision for how important small businesses are, not only to our party and to this campaign, but certainly the central role that they play in our economy. We will continue to have these discussions in partnership with all of you. And with that, I'm just so excited to be joined by my colleague, Steph Feldman, our policy director on the Joe Biden presidential campaign, who is here with us to talk about this week's announcement. So with that, I'll turn it over to Steph.
Thank you so much, Jason, and really appreciate everyone taking the time out of your schedules today to join this call and talk about an issue that is incredibly important to the vice president, which is about how we create an economic recovery that revitalizes and supports our small businesses, which are key to rebuilding a strong economy. I know you heard from our campaign last week about the overall Build Back Better agenda, but in case you missed that call, I want to provide a brief overview of essentially the framework here. Vice President Biden is putting forward his vision for our economic recovery, which is to rebuild our economy, but not just back to the way it was, but better. Better meaning addressing the crises and the weaknesses in our economy, some that have been created by, for example, President Trump's failure to respond to the coronavirus, but some that persisted long before the Trump administration, like the climate crisis or racial inequalities in this country. So the Biden plan is focused on creating jobs, strengthening working families, and supporting our small businesses to make sure that we come out on the other side of this crisis stronger. The policy is based around four key mobilizations. One is manufacturing and innovation, which is what I believe last week's call focused on, and the substance of that plan was rolled out last week. This week, Vice President Biden rolled out the specifics of the second mobilization, which is focused on infrastructure and clean energy. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. The third mobilization, stay tuned, we're excited to roll out the details on that soon, is around caregiving. So this is not just about caregiving for children, but also caregiving for the elderly and or older Americans, and making sure that we are providing a supply and quality of care in this country that allows the generation that is kind of being squeezed from children and aging parents, provide them with an opportunity to continue to remain in the workforce if they so choose. And the fourth mobilization is surrounding racial inequality, specifically focusing on issues like the racial wealth gap and other economic inequalities that have persisted in our country for years. That's the core of the Biden Build Back Better plan. Throughout each of those policies, it is important to the Vice President that we make sure that our proposals are helping small businesses and entrepreneurs come out of the other side of this crisis strong while demanding more from corporate America. You know, the fundamental belief of the Vice President is that we've seen the second bailout in 12 years for big corporations in Wall Street, and we've seen the Trump administration provide all the tools necessary to help big businesses and well-connected friends of his, while small businesses had to jump through hoops, and many couldn't access the relief they needed after the coronavirus hit our shores. Biden will ensure that corporate America finally pays their fair share in taxes, put their workers and communities first rather than their shareholders, and respect their workers' power and voice in the workplace. And Biden will help small businesses manage through the pandemic and recover so that millions of entrepreneurs can get back on their feet and carry this economy forward. I want to talk a little bit more in detail regarding our infrastructure and clean energy policy, but I'll try to make it brief. Substantively, there are four key elements to the Vice President's clean energy and infrastructure mobilization. It is a combined infrastructure and clean energy proposal designed to tackle two crises: the economic crisis created by President Trump's failed response to the coronavirus, and the persistent climate crisis that President Trump failed to acknowledge. First, this plan builds on and incorporates the Vice President's original climate plan, scaling up and accelerating our investments to meet the moment we are in. These jobs created will do work that improves air quality for our children, increases the comfort of our homes, and makes our businesses more competitive. The investments will make sure the communities who have suffered the most from pollution are first to benefit. And Biden will empower workers to organize in unions as they rebuild the middle class in a more sustainable future. There are a lot of details in this plan regarding exactly what jobs Biden will create. Biden will revitalize the American auto industry to win the 21st century by investing in electric vehicles and vehicle charging stations. This isn't just our big auto manufacturers, but it's also domestic suppliers of everything from parts to materials. Biden will also transform our crumbling infrastructure, including roads and bridges, rail, aviation, ports, and inland waterways. He'll make sure that America has the cleanest, safest, and fastest rail system in the world, and invest in high-quality, zero-emissions, and affordable municipal transit. Biden will also move ambitiously to generate clean, American-made electricity to achieve a carbon pollution-free power sector by 2035. I know there's so much incredible innovation in this space going on right now across the country. This will create good-paying union jobs that cannot be outsourced and spur the installation of millions of solar panels and tens of thousands of wind turbines in Biden's first term. It will also mean continuing to leverage the carbon pollution-free energy provided by existing sources like nuclear and hydropower, while ensuring those facilities meet robust and rigorous standards for worker, public, environmental safety, and environmental justice. Biden's going to upgrade 4 million commercial buildings over 4 years, and he's also going to spur the construction of 1.5 million homes and public housing units to address the affordable housing crisis, increase energy efficiency, and reduce the racial wealth gap. Second, Biden will ensure these investments create good union jobs that expand the middle class. American workers should build American infrastructure and manufacture the materials that go into it. And all of these workers must have the choice to join a union and collectively bargain. That's why Biden will include in the economic recovery legislation he sends to Congress a series of policies to build worker power, to raise wages, and secure stronger benefits. Third, this plan means a President Biden will make investments in our physical infrastructure, so our progress toward the new near-term sector-based goals and the economy-wide net zero emissions by 2050 goal cannot be reversed by any future president after Biden. No future president will be able to walk back these historic investments in retrofitting our buildings. They won't be able to pull the wind farms out. They won't be able to unwind the economics of electric vehicles once Biden's vision of 500,000 public charging stations is in place. We'll be stuck with our success, just like the Trump administration can take us back to the 2008 power grid. Renewables kept marching on, kept producing. Fourth, this plan will ensure our clean energy future is equitable. Biden is going to make sure that jobs created are in communities all across the country, rural and urban. And through every aspect of Biden's climate plan, he will prioritize addressing historic environmental injustice. That includes setting a goal that disadvantaged communities receive 40% of overall benefits of spending in his clean energy and infrastructure plan, and creating processes in a Biden administration to ensure we prioritize environmental justice issues and hold polluters accountable. That's what the science demands to address the climate crisis. Biden will be a president, unlike President Trump, who listens to the scientists. And that's what the economic conditions demand to get our people back to work, help our small businesses grow, and stimulate the economy in the next year. I'm excited to hear your questions.
Thank you very much. Steph, our first question is a true business question. It's from Susan Trail, Appleton, Wisconsin. How are you going to pay for all that?
Yeah, Susan, thank you so much for that question. Hope you're doing well in Wisconsin. So that is a great question we get a lot. And here's the way we think about it. So the vice president has been putting out plans throughout this campaign, which he has had proposals to pay for by making sure that the wealthy and corporations pay their fair share. He thinks we do need to have concrete plans to pay for those proposals. And there's actually more than enough revenue that you can create by making sure that we reward work the same way as wealth. For example, by making sure that we don't tax work differently than wealth. Now, since the beginning of the campaign, we've been, you know, focusing on pay-fors. Now we are at a moment where the economic crisis calls for us to scale up our policies to meet the challenge. So a lot of what the Build Back Better agenda is an acceleration of the investments that the vice president has proposed throughout the campaign. So he's taking a lot of the proposals he had over a 10-year window and pulling them into his first term, 4 years, in order to create the jobs and stimulate the economy. You know, some of this will be stimulus spending, but the vice president, through the pay-fors he's put forward in this plan, has committed to make sure that he has a concrete pay-for for every proposal that requires long-term spending. He's tried to detail each of these pay-fors when we have rolled out the policies, and a lot of it is on the corporate side, changing incentives to make sure that we are not providing incentives for big corporations to send jobs to other countries. And then the final piece I would, I guess, focus on is, you know, the vice president is committed to make sure that there is no tax increase on the middle class or working families. So he has designed his policies to ensure that there are no tax increases for households making under $400,000 a year. He thinks that there are clear policies, clear tax changes we can put in place that just make sure people pay their fair share. We're not trying to penalize anyone, but make sure that people pay their fair share. And then we invest the tax revenues in investments that will make our economy grow.
Our next question relates to training. It's from Tony Marshall, ISG, in Raleigh, North Carolina. He writes, as we modernize our energy infrastructure, there will be a need to train workers for new opportunities. Is the administration open to new, more efficient ways to prepare our workforce using apprenticeships and other forms of work-based training?
Tony, thank you for raising this issue. This is something that the vice president is especially passionate about. In 2014, I was actually working for the vice president back then at the White House. And at that time, President Obama asked Vice President Biden to develop a national strategy for reforming our nation's workforce training programs and design them to prepare what we called ready-to-work Americans with ready-to-be-filled jobs. I think through that process, we found that one of the programs that works the best is this program called TACT, which is a really long acronym that stands for something like Trade Adjustment Assistance Community College Training Program or something like that. Essentially, the vision that this program has is that the small businesses in the community and the community college in the area band together to identify what the needs are for skilled workers and then to create training programs and credential programs that allow workers to earn those credentials and fill the jobs. Vice President Biden thinks that we ought to build on that successful model. So that's why he's proposed an investment of $50 billion in high-quality training programs. This will fund those types of partnerships between community colleges, businesses, unions, state, local, and tribal governments, and high schools. It will also invest in programs that lead to a relevant, high-demand, industry-recognized credential, and will exponentially increase the number of apprenticeships in the country by strengthening the registered apprenticeship program and partnering with unions who oversee some of the best apprenticeship programs through our nation. The vice president has also, in the clean energy plan he just put out this week, recommitted to this proposal of apprenticeships and put forward the idea of making additional investments in pre-apprenticeship programs and in community-based and proven organizations that helps connect women and people of color to these types of ready-to-work job training programs. The underlying principle, though, is that Vice President Biden believes in, is that we can't be training people for jobs that aren't there. which is why he thinks that partnering with small businesses and medium-sized businesses in communities in order to design training programs is essential to ensure that they are successful and work for both the American people and the businesses that are looking for workers.
Our next question comes from Jorge Sanchez from Thor Energy LLC in Texas. His question is, there is much to be done to modernize our energy industry. What will the candidate do to ensure that the equipment used for power generation is made in the United States, since currently almost everything is Chinese and that threatens national security?
Thank you, Jorge. So this is the beautiful intersection of the clean energy plan that the Vice President put out this week and the Made in America plan that the Vice President put out last week. Combined, they ensure that we are not only investing in innovation here at home, but also then putting American businesses and American workers on the task of then building and constructing the products and materials that go into building America's future. So what does that mean? So a couple of things. So first, in the Vice President's Made in America plan, which you can find at joebiden.com/Made in America, he has a number of policies regarding making sure that Made in America is actually real. That means making sure that the content requirements of Made in America are substantive and that there aren't loopholes and waivers applied so that it is essentially deemed meaningless. It also means using federal procurement dollars to buy Made in America and increase the jobs created through federal purchasing power. The Vice President also, in his clean energy plan, has a proposal to drive dramatic cost reductions in critical clean energy technologies, including battery storage, negative emissions technologies, and the next generation of building materials, renewable hydrogen, and advanced nuclear, and rapidly commercialize them, ensuring that those new technologies are made in America. This is part of his $300 billion investment in research and development over the first 4 years of his administration, with a focus on clean energy through a new agency that he's going to create called ARPA-C, because you can never have too many ARPAs, which is focused on sparking innovation in the space related to climate and clean energy. So we are creating new technologies and then deploying them using American workers.
We also have a number of people emailing us about access to capital and small businesses, less about climate and clean energy, more about the economic recovery in general. What I'd like to do, Steph, is just bucket three of them together because I think they complement each other pretty well. First one is Tasha White, Assurance Consulting Group from Gastonia, North Carolina. How do you intend to ensure that small businesses are equipped to reopen safely? What is your plan when communities go rogue on safety precautions? From Stephen Bacalar, Intelligentsia, West Palm Beach, Florida. What is the campaign doing in terms of policy and messaging for small enterprises devastated by COVID? And then Veronica Alexander from Quilted Memories in Austin, Texas asks, will the next administration develop another plan for pandemic and other disasters that affect small businesses when medical and or natural disasters create a financial burden? So three different questions, three different states, all related to small business recovery from the pandemic.
Thank you. I can only imagine the fear and anxiety that results from being a small business owner or entrepreneur right now in the midst of this crisis. We have had the opportunity for the Vice President over the past month or two to sit down with a number of small business owners in the Pennsylvania, Delaware area, of course, socially distanced, and also to talk to several virtually. And I think, you know, we hear a couple of things. First, we hear that they did not feel that they had access to PPP and the other loan programs that were put in place to help businesses in the midst of this crisis. Especially, it was hard for small businesses who did not have a strong relationship with a bank to access those dollars. And then if they did get some dollars, it wasn't enough to keep all of their workers on payroll. So we've heard so many stories about small business owners who really want to keep their workers on payroll but just aren't getting the resources they need to do so. We're also hearing from businesses who might have enough money to keep payroll, but they can't keep paying their rent when they don't have enough revenue coming in. And so, you know, they have to give up their location and fear that they might not be able to reopen again after the pandemic ends. So the Vice President has put forward a framework for how he would invest in supporting small businesses. You can read the full thing at joebiden.com/smallbusinesses. and I'll just briefly summarize it. So first, the VP would make sure that Congress sets aside billions of dollars in funding for small lenders and community-based financial institutions, which are frequently best positioned to get resources into the hands of deserving small businesses in vulnerable communities. Biden has called for the Trump administration to do something similar when it was still in the process of implementing the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program, and with any new similar funds, essentially calling for the Trump administration to reserve fully half of all new funding for businesses, the small businesses with 50 employees or less, so that bigger and more sophisticated businesses aren't able to win in a first-come, first-served race, which is just clearly not the right way to do this when we're trying to make sure the mom-and-pop shops that are really the backbone of Main Street are able to maintain business and stay open during this crisis, or at least keep their workers employed. Another piece of this is to make sure that we do rule changes to the Paycheck Protection Program or to future plans that ensure deserving small businesses get all the help they need for as long as they need. That includes providing a guarantee that every qualifying small business will get relief rather than capping the funding in a way that forces small firms to compete against one another. It also means authorizing more generous loans that allow for small businesses in need to both keep workers on payroll and cover fixed costs like rent for the duration of the crisis. As I was just explaining, it's just no use for paying for payroll if small business can't keep the lights on. So I hope that answers the second question, which was how the vice president envisions policies for small businesses devastated by COVID. Now, another question we often receive is, you know, small businesses feel like they're maybe ready to reopen, but don't know how to do that safely and feel like they're not getting enough guidance from either the state, local, or federal government regarding how to keep their workers and their customers safe, which we know is a top priority. So Biden has also put out a plan for an effective reopening that jumpstarts the economy. You can read this full plan on joebiden.com/reopening. There are a number of pieces of this, but I'll just go through a few quickly. The first is making sure that when workers go back on the job, they have access to testing and personal protective equipment. This, you know, is growing increasingly challenging as we are seeing spikes in coronavirus across the country, but is essential as we are calling workers back to the job. Second, Biden believes that for the duration of this crisis, we need to have federally paid for paid leave for all workers who get sick with COVID-19 for as long as they need to recover and complete quarantine. That's essential in order to make sure that workers have peace of mind and employers have peace of mind. Vice President Biden also believes that, you know, we need to make sure our workers are safe by having clear standards that are proposed by an administration, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, and enforced. And these need to be requirements that are really clear so businesses don't have confusion regarding how far apart their employers are supposed to be, what type of ventilation minimizes risk, how often materials should be cleaned, you know, how plexiglass can be used effectively to minimize risk, what other modifications they can make to the workplace. The vice president is also proposing a number of steps to protect older Americans, Americans with disabilities, and others at high risk. Those of you who employ a lot of people know that there might be some employees who are eager to get back to work, and some might be really scared and hesitant to do so because they fall into a category that is disproportionately likely to have a negative outcome if they get sick with the coronavirus. So the vice president has proposals in place to, for example, make sure that there's more specific guidance for each of the high-risk categories and establish additional testing capacity for the high-risk population. One other policy here, which I'll talk about a little bit, is a proposal to create a safer shoppers program. I think one of the things that we've heard are that some businesses are ready to reopen, but their customers aren't quite ready to go out and be willing to engage with others in the public. And we need to instill consumer confidence in order to allow our small businesses to succeed. So Biden's proposal here is to create what he's calling a safer shoppers program. The idea here is that the federal government will provide state, tribal, and local governments with funding and technical assistance for their public health departments to certify business as compliant with testing procedures and other best practices for reducing transmission and to conduct spot checks as necessary. So this would be a voluntary program that small businesses could opt into, and then compliant businesses would receive a safer for shoppers sign to display so shoppers would know that the businesses have done what they can to minimize the risk of exposure. So that's the fundamental of the reopening policy. So we've talked about, you know, how we keep businesses hanging on while they're closed. We've talked about how you help them reopen safely. The question is, you know, what happens in the next pandemic or the next crisis? And I think there are two responses here. The first is that we need to be doing everything we can to make sure that we are not caught as flat-footed as we were for this crisis. So that includes climate change and health disasters. So on climate change, which, as you know, can have serious disruption effects for small businesses and medium and large businesses, that's why Vice President Biden takes seriously his efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and lead the world and upping our ambitions for worldwide greenhouse gas reductions. Because we know that we are already experiencing the impacts of climate change. We will continue to experience the impacts of climate change in the years to come. We have a window here to stave off the worst impacts of climate change, and that window is closing. And so Vice President Biden is committed to start taking action on day one to tackle climate change. Vice President Biden also has proposals to make sure we're never caught so flat-footed again for a next pandemic. That includes increasing our testing and tracing capacity, creating a public health workforce that is ready to take on those challenges, bringing our supply chains back to the United States so we have the capacity to produce face masks and produce testing components if we ever need to rapidly scale up manufacturing of those items in the future. It also means investing in the CDC and the National Institutes of Health and all of our research arms so we can accelerate research for therapeutics and cures when we face the next pandemic. So that's kind of how you prevent as much as possible. Of course, the other thing we need to do is improve the resiliency of our workers and our communities and the small businesses for the crises that we won't be able to prevent. So that's why Vice President Biden's entire plan is focused on making our middle class more resilient. And he has a number of proposals to support our small businesses and increase our access to capital. He is a big fan of a number of small business programs, which have been cut by the Trump administration. And Vice President Biden will reinvest in the Small Business Administration and especially its Minority Business Development Agency programs to make sure that all small businesses have effective access to capital, both in crises and before. He's especially focused on programs that make sure that small businesses owned by women, veterans, and people of color are able to have equal access to those types of resources.
Steph, I know we only have time for one more question. I've got a bunch about the aspects of your plan about advancing sustainable agriculture and conservation. Could you provide us a little bit more detail on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I personally love this one. So we actually put out most of this when we put out our rural plan toward the beginning of this campaign, so probably well over a year ago. And Secretary Tom Vilsack played a really critical role in developing this policy. And of course, there's no one better than him in understanding what it's like to be a small and medium-sized farmer or to be in the conservation space. So we were so thankful to have his help. The vision of Vice President Biden is to make the United States agriculture the first in the world to reach net zero emissions. And we think this can be a win-win, reducing emissions in our agricultural sector, but allowing our agricultural sector to profit from the steps they take in that place. That can include by conserving land. It also means things like giving small farmers incentives to plant plants that have deep roots that do an extra good job of storing carbon in the soil, which helps alleviate the climate crisis. So there are a lot of pieces in the ag space regarding empowering farmers and really making sure that farmers are part of the solution here. This doesn't have to be climate activists versus farmers. We really think that there is an opportunity for a win-win here to allow farmers to help reduce emissions and be rewarded for the role they are playing and being part of the solution at the same time. You can read that full plan at joebiden.com/rural. That includes a lot of other policies besides the agricultural policy. It has a lot of great stuff regarding creating local food chains and supporting small and medium-sized farmers with better loan access and all other types of things, but it also does include some climate and agricultural pieces as well.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us. For more information on Business Forward programming, visit businessfwd.org. The Business Forward podcast is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Jim Doyle, and Ed Meyer. Produced and engineered by Alexi Lippman and Alex Pastanen. Special thanks to our Director of Programming, Jana Platt. Thanks for listening. See you next time.